All right, so I've got you guys all here, Unc and Lee, and after several burlesque dances, basically to talk about...
Wait, there were burlesque dances?
Oh, you missed out.
You went there.
Wait, when did that happen?
I don't know, some like German place where they gave you giant mugs where you drank half of it and you felt fine, and then you drank another half and you felt like death.
Huh. What very big cafe did you go to? Because
to be honest, I'm saying it's a cafe. All I know is I followed Chris, and we ended up in like some random place with burlesque dancers and like giant leader mugs of beer.
Come to
and
the
OTC. You should have stopped Chris. At the point where you said I followed
guys,
Chris.
Come to the OTC, by the way. It's great. Also, that's where they're actually like us. So, let's be honest.
Where are my kidneys?
Well... Moving on.
They didn't fetch a good price.
That's fair.
We returned to sender, basically. So, what I've got here is basically three Merc players of various calibers. We have Abby, who is good. Charles, who is very good. And Jan, who is...
I dispute that.
...present.
He's not wrong, sadly. Yep. Harsh but fair. I love it. But I would sound very differently.
So what I want to discuss is basically the best Merc caster in the universe, which is, of course, Osram, and how Osram is, like, basically paired with a certain kind of, you know, like, what was it, a 50 steelhead halberd or 42 steelhead halberd? How many was it?
32 and 20 purse gangers.
Well, that's only
so 52 like steelhead halberd.
It's 52 warm bodies somehow, yes.
Yeah. P Magnus, or was it E Magnus? I can't remember. It
or
was some
E Magnus. No, P Magnus or Magnus 1. It's not
depends
real.
On who you talk to.
And more
to.
Importantly, how it actually is Gordon. More or less how basically this kind of dumb Merc pairing works. Because let's be honest, right? I can talk about Primal Terrors, but apparently people don't believe me. Primal Terrors is really scary. And honestly, if I keep doing podcasts about it, it'd be rather.
Did you actually hand out any vouchers for winning against Primal Terrors?
I did.
You didn't. You didn't.
No, I absolutely did. I handed
Where's
out
mine?
Three. Well, here's the catch, right?
You beat Primal Terrors?
Beat Primal Terrors?
Yeah.
Fuck! Sorry, guys. Affy, I owe you.
Not only did I beat it, I forgot to activate a siege crawl during all my turns because I killed so many models.
Well, yeah,
guys, as you can probably tell now, yeah, Primal Terrors, if Affy, of all people, can beat Primal Terrors without activating a battle engine, no problem. No, that was my bad. But to be fair, you didn't say shotgun for drinks. So,
yeah, I still got my... spent it yet.
You haven't spent...
There's time. There's still time.
There's still time.
You can catch up.
Oh, right. Only valid for today.
Wow. Yes.
Really?
Oh, better go do it now.
Why haven't you guys gone and got it? Okay, actually, don't go just yet. Okay, regardless.
Okay,
talking about Ostrom, I want to know basically about the ins and outs of Ostrom, because, let's be honest, Ostrom is a staple of most Merc pairings, and he's also a fucking cunt.
I'm fully on board with the is a cunt statement.
He's a short cunt?
He's a turd. A short.
He's a diverse cunt.
He's a short, diverse cunt of a turd.
So, yeah. There are 7 Osterum lists at the OTC.
No, 5.
No, there's 5.
There's 5. Oh, there's 7 mercenary players.
Seven mercenary players.
So, there are 7 mercenary players and 5 correct mercenary players, of which I have gotten 2, and Jan, who actually does play mercenaries from time to time.
But not well.
But I've never seen you play Osterum, though.
No, that's because I don't like Ostrom.
Ah, you snowflake.
Because I'm the infidel. I know I'm snowflake.
Now, that's why I grabbed it.
Yeah. Now mercenaries are popular, and I cannot handle it. Like,
I know.
It's why you moved to minions.
It's like, once everyone's on the bandwagon, you're like, I must get off.
Basically, yes, and this is a mistake. Just stick with playing Ostrom, people, and you'll be fine.
But exactly, you jumped onto a different bandwagon that everyone else is also getting on.
Like, just bandwagon on, like, make your own specific form of battle group for Ostrom, and then that can be your, like... your contributions. Like, look, I took Ostrom with a different version. With one extra driller.
It only has, like, 5 of each of the gun bunnies and has some bashes for some reason.
Nah, well, bashes are legitimately good.
I have the same number of heavies as bunnies.
Feels
really bad, yeah.
Yeah, you fucked up.
Yeah. All right, speaking of which, fucking up, because Charles, unfortunately, you're also winning with your Tasmanian team. By the way,
I'd
like to introduce Charles Sung, well-known Tasmanian.
I feel that you should actually explain what the fuck Tasmania is.
Tasmania is our penal colony, where basically, like, you know, the only, what was it?
Wait, so Australia has a penal colony, and you have another penal colony?
Yeah, it's a penal colony for a penal colony, that's correct.
Wow.
Yeah, guess what? It gets pretty meta.
Right, so, like... You know, like, New Zealand's, like, called Kiwi? Like, what do you call Tasmanians?
We usually pretend they're not really there.
Oh.
To be honest, we're going to take all this bass straight to hope that
I'm not going to lie.
Unfortunately, aviation has become a technology of late.
I mean, the quote is basically this. It's like, what is the only Tasmanian version? It's like a sister who can outrun her brother. By the way, congratulations for playing for Tasmania. How are you guys doing? You're doing well? Congratulations, Charles.
Doing all right, I guess.
Ouch.
But regardless, Charles, as everyone knows, War Machine Australia is like A, dead, B, no one cares, and C, also like completely unrealistic because it's a crazy metal ad where
you guys are weird,
Jane.
Yeah.
We're super weird.
I'm not used to my faction being mainstream.
Well, like, talk about that. How do mercs get mainstream? How do they get mainstream recognition?
Pick up Ostrom.
Yeah, that's basically
all right. Why would they pick up Ostrom, of all people? I mean, he's clearly a dwarf with an oversized axe, which decaps, which is as unrealistic a role as you can get.
Only mine has an oversized axe.
Rubbish. Yours is not a unique conversion, I'll tell you.
Like, in fairness, surely decapitation on Ostrom is the rule you discover 20 games in and you're like, oh, I fucked up. Ostrom has to try to kill something personally.
I mean, I
somehow it's magically a threat rage.
I have the literal decapitation axe.
It's got energizer. His threat range isn't that bad. It's almost equal to every infantryman.
Slightly outfrets a press gang.
Feed or not feed.
With energizer, maybe.
Feed or not feed.
Look, by the time Ostrom's swinging in, your feed is well and truly gone.
Yes.
Unless
that is true.
Really fucked up.
Those are desperate times.
Yeah. Unless you're really BMing your opponent, that's correct.
That's true. I never had a game where Ostrom went into melee and I won the game. Those two do not go together.
I'm actually still yet to have a game where Ostrom's gone into melee. I've had games where I've wanted him to go into melee, but my opponent's been more than 7.5.
Wait, you have Energizer.
Have Energizer, but sometimes you have the ability to go into melee and then make the adequate quantity of attacks to make the thing happen.
Right. So
and spend focus and upkeep spells and cast fire for
it. Alright, we've already got to fix an error. No, he has exactly equal threat range as a press ganger.
Oh dear. After spending 2 focus.
Which actually, I guess it's kind of weird, because I've gone into melee with Gorton with Strength of Granite countless times to kill heavies.
What a shocking turn of events.
Indeed. Alright, so what basically makes Ostrom unique? Actually, no, that's really
quite okay, easy. So you asked this question a few times. I think the reason why what makes Ostrom unique and is also the same thing that draws people to play mercenaries as a faction and Ostrom as a caster, which is his incredible diversity. His ability to be written in almost any way you like, whether it be, say, Charles, you're running 5 lights and 5 heavies.
Yep.
And a unit of Forge Guard.
Yep.
And then some support. And
some random chaff, yeah.
There are Ostrom lists that are like maybe like 6 bunnies and Forge Guard and a couple of Rockrums.
Yeah, with no heavies.
I'm playing a no heavy list, which is like 8 bunnies and a Siege Crawler.
Yeah.
And no Forge Guard.
No
Forge Guard.
Oh, you play Idrians, that's right.
No, I play Eliminators instead.
Eliminators. Yeah.
The cheapest option.
The best option, actually.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Forge Guard in general. But
I don't mean, I'll be honest, I don't think anyone is. I mean, nothing beats Eliminators.
No.
Exactly. They're Kador models, and unfortunately, if you take Kador models outside of Kador, it turns out they're actually quite good.
Which is also funny, because you look at like Ostrom and you think, like, oh, his battle group is so good. The Driller and Basher and all the bunnies are so cheap and super focus efficient. But then you look at how they pair with the other dwarf caster, then like they don't stand out. It's that whole package of like the feet with plus speed and energizer and bulldoze. All that together, yeah.
Mm.
I will say, I actually think that for an individual turn of doing damage, I find that bunnies are best with Gorton in terms of getting a work out of bunnies over a 6 to 7 turn game. It's probably better with Ostrom, but Ostrom definitely runs heavies better than any other caster in mercenaries comfortably. And like that's the combination that then allows bunnies to be particularly oppressive. When you have this capacity to say put heavies up in front with high armor values and with some anti-control aspects,
yep,
and deny your opponent the capacity to then make attack rolls against your bunnies. That lets your bunnies just do attrition work turn after turn after turn. Which is kind of like what Gordon does with his battle group as well. It's just instead of using his battle group to allow his battle group to do work, he uses random fucking dudes. Rolls the table to allow his battle group to make multiple attack rolls random, over multiple turns.
You mean random 70 dudes.
Yes. That's the current flavor of the month. We'll move back to like 40 dudes only or something in just a little while.
I mean, the new balance of 60 dudes bad me balanced dudes bad.
I mean, yes. I got corrupted by Corey Doyle.
And I guess Doyle actually got you on that one?
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. So
spreading the Steelhead message far and wide.
Exactly.
That'll be the next thing that's hitting marks everywhere, is 30 Steelheads plus some press gangers and all that sort of shit. Mm. Like, the 100-man list is coming in.
Do you know what Corey does when he comes to the table and he's bringing Magnus?
I heard he just dumps the entire...
Exactly. Yeah. So he has 52 Steelheads. They're all metal. They're all painted.
He's using metal parts.
Yeah, they're all metal. So what he does is he buys a lot of, like, used batch of models. And he just buys them in bundles. He doesn't, like, split out whatever. So he has, like, massive amount of, like,
Garbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, so he doesn't care. And he just, like, dumps them in a cardboard box. Comes to the table. And you know he's dropping Magnus. He just takes that cardboard box, turns it upside down, and dumps all those metal models onto the table.
That's glorious.
And he does not fucking care.
We asked him how many of these models were broken. He's like, oh, three. He's like, I don't fucking believe you.
Three metals.
No.
I think you're mistaken. Three of the amount of models are intact.
And then you take off his pants.
He'll do that.
That's a curious
thing. That is... No, that actually makes a lot of sense, knowing Corey is...
Like, that's very Corey.
Yeah. Like, right off the bat, you lose the intimidation game.
Yeah. Like, you just have to see that, and you're just like, okay, cool. You not only have a box of steelheads with three intact steelheads...
You also play with no pants.
Yeah.
Anyway, great is the Corey cast. As, like, the snowflake that refuses to pick up Ostrom because I have problems... What does Ostrom not want to see? Like, legitimately, tell me something that I can actually, like... leave here.
He brought you some cancer.
Oh, excellent.
It's very few things.
Who the fuck knows?
Play Ostrom win.
Who the fuck knows, by the way, what Ostrom will actually play into without, like, losing?
Well, it depends on the list, right?
So that's what I thought.
That's like the least helpful answer you can give.
So here's the thing, like, you could have an Ostrom list, and it could have certain weaknesses, and then you could tweak that Ostrom list and be good into that.
Yes, precisely.
Yeah.
So right now, my Ostrom list is weak into Axis Double Tap, for example, right?
Sure.
But I could write that Ostrom list to not be weak into Ostrom Double Tap by removing a bunch of my range elements.
It's what's in your meta, and you can tech against it.
Yes. Josh, does this remind you of Mark II Haley?
Yeah. That's why I'm playing Ostrom instead of Haley.
Wait, so
at the third Ostrom players.
So you're saying, like, yes. Before we played last Tuesday, you were about to submit Signar lists?
No, I was playing Ostrom once.
Okay.
I was just fucking around with, like, Nemo and that.
No, you were trying to ruse people into saying that you were going to play, like, Signar. Oh, yeah, I'll totally play Signar. I've played Signar before.
Chris, Ostrom. I'm pretty sure we're, like, safe to say that the Australian meta isn't that sophisticated.
When was the tournament?
Wait.
The team tournament?
Early April?
Late April? April, was it?
Yeah, so you were locked in April.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was...
You were Ostrom Thexas in April.
Yeah, because we were chatting and I was playing. Except I should have played Ashlyn because she's amazing.
So did you Ostrom four rounds today?
What? Yeah, Ostrom four rounds. One of the guys is like, I thought you were going to drop Thexas. I'm like, no. It's just there as a ruse.
I mean, same as me. That Gordon has like 70 dudes and your Thexas has 70 dudes.
Yeah, yeah, it's was, a very, very similar sort of thing.
Yeah, we played that game.
Except when you pass like 80% off.
Yep.
Yeah, let's be honest. So, what we've got with Ostrom is basically a cunt. He's a cunt who basically shoots good and armors good and also has randomly immune to pushes because, you know, that's the thing. Also, he just bulldozes
that's
you out of the thing.
Entirely inaccurate.
There like, are I mean, six things in War Machine you need. Hit buffs, damage buffs, speed buffs, armor buffs, tricks... And then, like...
Ignore rules,
right? So, tricks include bulldoze.
So, what you tell
Ostrom
me...
has everything else.
No, right? What you tell me is Ostrom has five of the six and is in mercenaries. And let's be honest, mercenaries have garbage theme forces, but they also have irregulars.
Hey, don't knock Kingmaker.
I'm not gonna lie, right? Ostrom in Hammer Strike is also, if you just need to list, like...
He's playing Kingmaker.
Hammer... Bulldoze some fuck with your 30 fucking press game.
It's
30 army.
Hey, can I regale everyone with my Ostrom assassination today? Which I
oh, please do. Go for it.
I put Ostrom in the middle of the table on my turn two, and he put Maelok where he thought he was safe.
Yeah, it's gone.
And then my control area was just behind Maelok, and then I ran gun bunnies, pushing all these gators out of the way. His whole army of four max units of gators basically out of the way, and then kept pushing Maelok a little bit closer to me, and drill a one-headed through him back almost into my deployment zone to just feed him to a pole unit of Hammer Dwarves with Ragman on Maelok's feet.
And Aris.
And Aris on Charlie's focus.
Our biggest. Yeah.
And that was well like done. A 10-minute game. I was like, I guess I don't have to try.
0.5 utility.
Yeah. Yeah. For the record, his first game of Maelok.
For the record.
Oh, okay. For the record.
Josh comes into a fucking high school, walks into a year 7 classroom and goes, fucking crushed it.
That's basically just the Newcastle meta, to be serious, though.
Yeah, no.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow, that was dark.
That was really dark. They're going to a really dark place. He basically walked in child molested some hurts, Newcastle. Right? So.
Like, it's Pete Bates, like.
And this guy.
Yeah, so, Andrew.
So that's like saying it's not pedal if you don't know their age.
To be fair, that is literally half our meta.
Yeah.
Mm. And the other half of the meta is just playing Garbo like fucking Denny 1 or some shit.
Nah, no. Is anyone playing Denny 1?
I'm playing Denny 1.
Alright.
You're playing Denny 1 with.
Did we also talk about the Ostrom game, which. Cool. He fire-affected...
No, tell it.
Right. The only way to actually beat Ostrom, as it turns out, because I literally put a bounty, a drink bounty, by the way, so you know it's legit, because, let's be honest, people will fucking do nothing for money, but people will do everything for free booze. And, right. Unfortunately, the only person who claimed said bounty for killing Ostrom was an Ostrom player who managed to Sudoku himself.
He killed himself with blast damage. What he did is there's a Ravagor in combat with Ostrom, so it's like Def 15, so it's fuck all. So he aimed a fire effect and mortar.
I like how Def 15 is fuck all, by the way, but
Def 15 means fuck.
Killed the Ravagor, and Ostrom was on 3 boxes from an assassination tent and just rolled fire.
Never in doubt.
Blew Ostrom the fire.
Yeah, never in doubt.
That's where you need your Eilish reroll,
I guess so. You've been drinking since round three.
So good.
It was in preparation for round three.
So what Ostrom does is he brings 5 of the 6 apparent secret sources of War Machine, right. Except it's like 5.5. What does Ostrom lose to? And realistically, it seems to be basically table features. Like, if your opponent basically puts down... If your opponent bribes the TO to give you a Garbo table, you're probably
through that.
If your opponent bribes the TO to give you a Garbo table, you can still play through that, which is really fucking stupid, but alright.
The problem with playing the six Spray Bunny builds is it weakens you to things like Primal Terrors and... Yeah.
No, because you do is your opponent goes, ha, I'm going to charge you, and then you put the spray bunnies as speed bumps in front of your army.
Yo,
and go,
even against Primal Terror, I'd rather have spray bunnies than gun bunnies.
I want a mix.
Huh?
I want a healthy mix of both.
True.
But if you're taking 6 spray bunnies, how many hand cannon bunnies are you actually taking? Yes. Right.
One or two, right? Right, but like from the start of Mark 3, I was taking most gun bunnies and like 1 spray. And then as Mark 3 progresses, that ratio shifted until now it's 1 gun bunny and the rest is all sprays.
I've done the same thing.
2/3, 1/3 spray to hand cannon or 50-50 spray to hand cannon. So fluctuate between the two.
I just found that people gravitate toward defense against like direct fire. Cover, stealth, concealment, all that stuff.
Bullshit.
And then spray hits more models so that you lose the two power.
Sure thing.
It's just that specific matchup. You're like not mathing as hard into the armor skew, right? But
when you have access to like Alexia, which a lot of Ostrom builds randomly do sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes
randomly, my ass.
Never seen it.
I randomly selected this.
Never. I really know it randomly. No. All right, fuck it. Figure what I said. Randomly, you have Forge Guard, and let's be honest, Forge Guard a lot of times are shit.
That shows Chris is not a merc player.
But the thing is, he has exactly one merc option. It's Alexia.
I gave Chris a merc army. I even sent him a picture of my sexy face on there.
Yeah, it was
now
pretty good.
Now he got swapped to the other Chris.
Oh. Yeah. But so you'd notice that a lot of my gun bunnies that I painted are now in someone else's hands.
Hello.
That terrorist over there.
You mean randomly selected Frawley? That's correct.
But I think that's like a fairly,
that was
like,
racist.
That's right. I'm not that racist.
He's a paid attendee.
He's a paid attendee and a slaughterman. Stop disrespecting.
Can you bring a level of professionalism to this?
I'm too used to insulting my own culture.
No longer a minority. Get your shit together.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're basically in that.
My team is 60% Asian.
Yeah, and we have two Canadians in Australian like war machines. So
you're part of the problem.
Wait, two
now.
Canadians?
Yeah, two yep. Canadians.
What's the other one?
Brian.
Who doesn't play right now?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Brian Woods sneaking through the bushes. Brian Woods.
Okay.
Well, you want to make the Shia LaBeouf reference work.
Actual cannibal.
Oh, actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. Yes.
Just do it.
Just every time you see Brian from now on, you have to be like, Brian Woods. Brian Woods. Snicking through the bushes. Brian Woods.
That was a loud fucking penny that dropped. Ah. Make a point about Ostrom.
Alright, actually, I'm not going to make a point about Ostrom. We're going to make a point that Ostrom
is
awesome.
Why does he have stranglehold?
Why does he have literally anything on his card?
Wait. Utility.
Can I have stranglehold on Haley too?
How many times have you cast stranglehold on
Ostrom?
Oh.
Right?
My problem with casting stranglehold is every time I cast stranglehold, I feel stranglehold. I'm so fucking anxious. I cast it in those games where...
You do or die, right?
You might have...
It's do or die. It's like, fuck, I'm actually losing the game.
You're not making that...
Let's give them a reroll. Let's do this.
You're definitely not making that play off the back.
The only time I have cast Stranglehold is when I have Alish on the list. Yeah. If I don't have that, I will not cast it.
Silas as well.
Silas to get extra range.
Yep.
Because sometimes... I never take Silas.
Are you ever not just taking Reinhold?
Josh, have you cast Stranglehold with
Alish? It is nice.
Once.
Was it worth it?
It was definitely worth it. It was a storm wall. And I just shit on that dice and I won the game because of it.
Nice.
You know, the Wormwood matchup? That's what he used to do, right?
Yeah, but like...
Start of Mark 3. Wormwood's like, you have a colossal Nito. Did I roll bad? Fuck.
But Wormwood also has like the most bullshit Arcanine in the game.
Yeah.
And he does it multiple times.
Yeah, it's the teleporting Arcanine.
Yeah, so casting it twice
once is a lot more.
This is pre-Eilish, yeah?
Yeah, so that's yeah. One
super pre-Eilish.
I missed the one when you can primal magic with a shaman, like a character animus.
Yeah.
Oh, so God, Mark 2, yeah. you can have the shaman cast like Molikarn's animus.
Daywalker. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You
walk up, you Arcanine through it with Hexes 2, and then he walks back later.
Belphegor, man. Belphegor's
with. Well, that was the thing, right? So like it originally was fine in Scorn, and then it got poured to the Legion. They're like, oh, actually, this is a real rule, so
this
we should.
Bad.
And more importantly, this real rule has moved to a real faction, so we should just, like, you know, can it as immediately as possible.
Have you ever seen Double Belphegor?
What?
No.
No. Even worse. Triple Belphegor sometimes.
You mean it's a spoiler?
Yeah.
I mean, now you have Boiling Blood.
But that fucking animus, you're like, here's.
Three AoE 5.
Where you cannot put an infantry, right?
In Mark 2 meta.
In Mark 2, which is yeah. Yeah. Right?
But hey, Chris, did you just say Scorn's not a real faction, Mark 2?
Of course it's not a real faction.
Not Mark 2.
No. I am not a racist. I won't discriminate. I'll say Scorn is not a real faction, period.
And hey, there Charles, in the last WTC of Mark 3, how
where
did you
I play
Scorn?
Scorn?
How, was that 0-6 or 1-5?
One of those.
Yes.
The thing is, that was a yes out of 10.
When was the last time you played Scorn now that you've got a lot?
Alright, I'm going to just cut all the Scorn talk because let's be honest, Scorn invading like a real faction podcast is obviously.
It's why every team's brought a Scorn player this year so they can just pitch him to the other team's Scorn player.
Scorn mirror's been everywhere.
I've done that to Potsy every time I could.
Yes. Well played, Anton. But regardless, a bunch, for whatever reason, some people have cottoned onto the idea that apparently spamming mans in mercs is good. Which is, of course, really stupid because you always could do that, and in fact, you did that a shit ton with Nexus.
Snowpack has, like, taught you that the best way to win a war is to, like, not fight. Like, pacifism is the best route to victory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just awesome things.
Or throwing your opponent's cast through your army.
Yeah, that's pacifism.
That's pacifism.
Totally pacifism.
If you kill exactly one model, that's pacifism.
Yeah. You decide to eliminate the problem with the surgical assassination that involved approximately 20 models.
I was trying to win all my games with the least amount of points possible this weekend. I had two games where it was like sub 30 points.
Yeah.
And then...
I was trying to do that too, and then I got the highest points in the tournament.
No, Colin is different. Colin will get fucked and then just win. he will take the fact that he gets reduced to 20 points and then use those 20 points to do about 80 points worth of work.
Master of shoveling.
It's never hard carry Brian, it's hard carry Rorsch.
Or hard carry Rask. No,
actually, you say that, but I've seen Rorsch win more games than probably he fucking deserves.
Yeah.
Ninja Pig!
43 attacks.
Let's just up the count more. But yeah.
7 turns, 3 attacks minimum.
Oh my god, more people are going here. Hey guys.
But do you think like the one thing that's making like Ostrom such like a prevalent like
position in the meta is another Ostrom player has fucking entered the room.
But it's not just necessarily that he...
Here's the thing. It's not just that argue for Ostrom prevalence, but what you've actually got to think about here is that in terms of statistics, War Machine is a very small game. It's got a very limited player base. So right now, Ostrom is the hot thing because there's what? There's 5 players in a single tournament.
And it's doing exceptionally well.
That's amazing, right?
we should certainly data mine the shit out of it because it's a small teams tournament. But like one of the cool things about him, and I've noticed like especially watching like Affy like build lists over the last like 6 players, like who cares?
We battle and tick the boxes.
He's got the 6 boxes, right? But he's also like going to reward like problem awareness. Like, if you know what, like, sort of, like... You don't, like, just rock up with, like, 12 gum bunnies and you're like, sweet, I've just sold the game. It's like, you know how to modularize, like, what's going on and you sort of, like, win out because you can, unpack, like, a range of problems with the same sort of paradigm list. And it's like that, it's that flex within his, like, build that really rewards good play.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't necessarily think that he's, like, necessarily the strongest caster in the game. It's just that he has all the tools that basically enable... like good problem awareness.
He reminds me of playing Signa coupled with the flexibility of Mark.
It's like
controls.
It's like playing Haley 2 in Mark 2 with a good second list.
Can you imagine Mark 2 fucking Haley in a troll list?
Yeah, it would have been great.
We always troll like, out
that's
of
what Ostrom is.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, I used to play Haley 2 with Broomhouse and Forge Guard and just Arcane Shield out there and just have all armor 21 troops. Yeah. And it was real simple.
They missed you too much.
Plus a battle group.
Yeah. No, like
no. That's
still,
what I mean.
I'm still trying to play without
battle army, group. Right? Which is a decent battle group, acceptable shooting, and then Haley's control. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. The other thing I mean by that is that when with Mark II trolls, before you started playing the game, when you were writing your list, you had this much flexibility. You could tech your list to do with
stretching your arms. Does not work on a podcast, Fletcher.
Shut the fuck up. Yes, it does, Jan.
Air quotes.
His arms are really wide apart.
But emphasis.
Narrator says his arms were super fucking apart.
And this was quite. Actually, a Mark II troll list with ADR, right? You could flex your list to play into literally anything you want to.
Yep.
That's what Ostrom does, but he does it at a different power level.
Yep. Because he's not actually requiring you to come and fight.
We're talking about Ostrom, not loud.
And he does it prominently with like a ranged presence, so you're not actually having to wait to solve problems that come to you. You solve the problems proactively, which is kind of the difference between Ostrom and a troll list.
I mean, you know, dwarves are like the mainstream arms manufacturer in their own kingdom, right?
Yeah, until the
Vinters
like
against the Orgoth. Thank you.
Yeah.
Historical heroes, right here.
Historical revisionism, I'm hearing.
But because of his flexibility, like you saw in Brisbane last week, where we rocked up and there was 8 people playing and 6 of them were Ostrom.
Yeah, for sure.
What?
Yep.
No, what? I'm serious. 6 people rocked up with Ostrom like last week.
Why do they all hate fun?
Charles, they all love fun.
Charles and I were two of them.
Wait, we're Ostrom mirrors.
My point stands.
Exactly.
But it's also like, if that's a big problem in your meta, right? Like, the best thing to do is rock up and just like neutralize and play the Ostrom off, right? Like, because
the thing is, we tried before, what's the answer to Ostrom, and all we really got was depending
Ostrom.
On your Ostrom build.
Yeah.
Is the answer other Ostrom? I don't think it is.
I'm going to start playing
the thing
for
is,
Ostrom.
When you have Ostrom plus X versus someone else who's okay. Ostrom plus X, you gravitate toward the Ostrom mirror.
Like, you may sit there and say, how about we both play our X's, all right?
I mean, you could.
How about we not? Because let's be honest, it'd be really frightening and confusing to play the Gorton versus Thexus matchup. Because I don't know what will happen. Whereas if I have Oster, at least I only have to remember one.
The solid ground caster wins.
Why the fuck are you hiring me for that one?
Well,
I don't want to play that.
Real tough.
Because you played both casters, I know.
I don't want to play them against each other. That'd be basically the worst.
Is this going to be like Mark II this WTC when we saw every team had Denny 2 with
Body
and Soul, and every team had Haley 2. Like my team
with
no Stormwall.
Was that the one where Body and Soul stopped working?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was literally, like every time.
I warmed my cold heart.
I think there was one team without.
This is why you're the Pepe of War Machine.
There was one team that was five Crips players.
But we're sort of.
That's where Tom Wall went 6-0 with anyone.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But we're sort of like outside of that exploratory period of like Mark III right now, and like the sort of staples will establish themselves from here on out. Like, you're going to have every faction we're representing, and you're probably going to have like staples from every faction just going to crop up in these team tournaments because they're not bad problem solvers into 90% of the problems on the field. That's why you see Ostrom.
Look at the pie for today, though.
Yeah, it's super even. But like, when you
it's
look at
super even, Ostrom.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily like Ostrom. It's like factions have a fair representation. It's just that every Merc player rocks up with Ostrom because he's a flexible problem solver. It's like, it's why I'm baffled that, like, you know, Ret players don't rock up with Rahn in every pairing because he's a flexible problem solver. It's that sort of shit, like, where it's like everything becomes that you're like yellow 50-50. Like, if I, at the end of the day, if I play this game well, I'm going to find like a way out. He's that sort of caster. Right.
I feel like that.
Well, look, honestly, Ryan might not be the caster pick there, but Isurio I'd definitely pick for that one, right?
Sure.
But either of the two, right? It's basically like,
man, you know, I hate to be that guy that's playing both of them in a pairing.
What a dick.
I want a fuckwit, right? I'm pretty sure he's belonging to a bad team, and I'm pretty sure that said captain has just run off. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What? We're about to mock the Frawley team.
Yep.
Yeah,
a bunch of scrubs.
The name redacted team.
The name redacted team. But yeah, so Ostrom is good. That's an established canon.
Wait, I only came out halfway through this. Is Ostrom good? I didn't hear.
Oh, mother.
Tell me what. Can you please explain to me in sequence why Ostrom is good?
Did you win that voucher of beating Ostrom?
Don't oh my smack god.
No, the Primal Terrorist wouldn't even drop that shit in the mouth.
Probably, this is my life.
Okay, point of order. The microphone is on the table. You cannot smack the phone and or smack the table. You dumb fucker.
Hey. Point of order. You're not my dad.
Point of order, Lisa stinks.
Point of order.
I am so
he actually is.
Mad because if I produced your stupidity, I'd be fucking embarrassed.
Yeah, guess what? This point of order has some fucking drink vouchers. But you're okay, you gotta.
Yeah.
Your code, I know where they are.
Yeah. I can only carry trays.
Get a tray
with, bitch. Fine, I'll get a tray.
Sure, like, trays.
Yeah, trays.
Get the trays over there. Jesus Christ.
Please.
Like, I have trays. I'm not carrying a tray to a bar.
And a cake for Gigantor. Okay, fine. Tell the bar to give you a tray.
Alright, who wants a cider?
Me.
I'm getting like
Coca-Cola.
Alright, so we're very established. Ostrom is literally the best person in the universe.
So let's talk about Primal Terrors.
No.
Because that's totally.
Let's talk about Gordon while we actually have some people who don't play Primal Terrors.
Okay, so Gordon's really cool. He doesn't really need to do much, and then he wins the game.
Gordon also reminds me of Primal Terrors.
Snek and Rongar and Snapdraw behind a wall is just.
Have you played against pacifism yet?
Yeah, I have.
It's super fucking cool, right? Like, it's just 1,000 dudes that don't really need to do a lot of work. Because at the end of the day, rolling tough at 5 plus, no knockdown.
Colin Hill looks so dejected in this photo playing against you, Charles.
Yeah. So, like.
So Charles has just given us a photo of basically approximately a very fair and balanced equation. Colin has about 10 models, and Charles is about, like, you know.
How do you not just put this on the internet with, like, caption of, like, 1,000 dudes greater than all the lessers?
So it's I'll put it on my Twitter.
See, I almost lost the game.
Almost, right?
Yeah. You almost lost to Colin is the problem.
I know.
That's
my third game.
Send it to me. I'll shoot off my Twitter.
To your Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't
Twitter. No, that's why I'm saying send it to me.
Okay.
And I'll tag you as Michael Chili Winners.
You're gonna again.
Stop hitting the fucking table.
Sorry, that's me. That was
oh
me.
My god.
But I'm hitting
no,
the other table.
No, it was him.
This is a separate table.
Yeah, I know, but he like did like a casual little like love tap on the table just for comedic effect.
Hey, guess what? Stop being racist against Asians. We're not all the same person. Believe it or
Chris,
not.
Chris, I'm not racist against you. I'm just pointing out how you're a piece of shit.
That's great. Fantastic.
Objectively, like regardless of race.
And factually.
Just on criteria.
No, don't just objectively be. I'm also factually a shit cunt.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so going back to that, like, why is Ostrom so prevalent? Like, any of you listen to the latest fully boosted podcast?
Is that the From the Nation, which is America's hat?
Kind of. No, well,
it's Canada's asshole, right?
Well, Banky's in it, but it's an American cast.
I miss Banky. He's such a sweet dude.
Yeah,
yeah, he is.
But anyways, so they're kind of borrowing from like the Pokemon lingo where. You have something called sweeper and pivots.
Like you told me this analogy.
Yeah, I told you, and it kind of makes sense like to think about it in these terms. So sweeper is like kind of your skew or spam list kind of thing that's like very polarized. You either have super crushing matchups or you have specific bad matchups.
So gear checking.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then the sweepers are, the pivots are your flexible list that at worst you get like a 40-60, but you can play into almost anything. And Ostrom is kind of in a category where he's almost both.
Yeah.
He's basically your flex, but he's also strong enough to be a sweeper.
Can you answer while I unpack your puzzle?
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to be this sort of lane to Ostrom, which typically involves being able to actually deal damage to him.
It's not that. It's basically trying to proactively solve a proactive puzzle solver.
Okay.
That was a lot of words.
Right, so Ostrom is going to, like, unequivocally have a better answer to you than you do.
He presents a puzzle, and he solves your puzzle.
Right, exactly. So you need to solve his puzzle while he's solving your puzzle.
Right.
And that's kind of a weird head fucky game.
Right. And there's very few casters in the game that occupies that spot where he is.
Yeah.
The thing with Ostrom,
he does nothing bad, right?
He's flexible enough, but also he skews one way.
Well, the thing with Ostrom is that Ostrom does basically numbers, but he also does numbers with like some weird pushing garbage and also really, really, really focused fission jacks.
How does your phone do that?
Oh, don't get me started.
His phone actually has been diagnosed with epilepsy.
Yep.
Or AIDS.
My phone, yeah. No. My phone has done very, very, very many sweet rave parties, as you can see. When it enters rave mode, I can even put into rave mode on demand. Yeah, look at this way. Standard mode.
Whoa! Strobe light. Oh my god, my
That's
eyes.
Great for podcasting.
All right, yes. And unfortunately for...
The internet thanks you for that amount of autistic preaching.
Indeed.
Please don't.
And he couldn't stop.
I actually can't stop it right now. I have to... There we go. Okay, we're good. Right.
Actually, strobe light
is
off.
Is it still?
The most fucked thing is still recording? It's the Jack Sears access.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's still. I do wonder though, like,
if the spray, if his gun buddy is worth costed at 6 points, and
right,
and all that sort of nonsense.
Okay,
but you see,
bashes weren't so efficient. If jewelers weren't so efficient, if jewelers didn't have like.
But all of his battle groups are basically half point costed, like every model
with a free roll.
Sure, but at the same time, you don't see other dwarf caster excel with them.
Yeah, because you don't see Durgan, but you see Gordon excel with it.
But Gordon wants a minimized battle group. Because he doesn't have that
he doesn't want... Yes, he doesn't want, like, 80 points in battle group.
Right,
he
where wants, Ostrom, like, Ostrom 30 could, to 40. Ostrom could easily run with 80.
Yeah, he can.
So, sure. there is that difference where Ostrom provides support for his battle group that...
Which is why it stacks, right?
Right.
Because he's supporting a battle group.
Right.
And the battle group is full of undercosted models,
yeah,
which are undercosted if you exclude one of the rules in their
right
card.
Sure.
And you've got a flexible quantity.
That's why every one of them is, yeah, about half a point undercosted.
Like, yes.
But in a vacuum, they're not... Yeah, in a vacuum,
oh,
they're not...
Oh, yeah,
like,
good old yawn.
No, it's when you have all that support, yeah.
That's right, because like a basher would say Gordon isn't broken. It's
no,
huge.
Exactly. Agreed.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my
God. Damn it.
I love
you, Jan.
Jan, you are the best.
You are the best Cam Baron.
That's not
I'll say that with Southie on my God team.
Yes.
He's Queen Bean, man.
Thank you, Jan.
Yeah,
if you let him, Jan will be here all night.
Shut up. I got nothing.
So, for everyone who is, for some reason, hey, still listening to our podcast and hasn't been turned off by all the Ostrom talk, Charles has just been wet himself by excitement due to yawn.
Excessive yawn.
God damn it, I gotta wear these pants tomorrow.
Yes, please.
Do you only own one pair of pants?
I only brought one pair.
Ooh. Thanks, Chris.
Ooh.
I can lend you
thanks,
a pair.
Thanks, Chris. Is that
No worries. No worries.
I'll try it.
Is there a problem of Ostrom being like a dojo fiend? Like he is really strong. He is very strong on the table, but like there are some lists and some casters and some pieces which feel a lot very, very strong in the dojo.
No,
we've had those effects.
Stronger in the dojo than he's in the table.
Yeah. I feel like
I think that's also true because like you can think in the dojo about Ostrom who happens to pack 8 spray bunnies. Or happens to pack 8 hand cannon bunnies, or happens to pack drillers. But once you actually sit them on the table and they have to pick a more defined level of hand cannon bunnies, spray bunnies, drillers,
well,
right?
Yeah,
you're facing the list on the table,
yeah,
right? And there's more answers to Ostrom on the table than there is in the dojo. Ostrom is going to win in the dojo every time when his army is this variable which you can't ever define. It was kind of.
It's the quantum Ostrom was. Yeah. It's always got like basically.
It was partially similar to a lot of. Early Mark II, Halley II.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. What do you mean early Mark II, Halley II?
I meant Mark III, sorry. Early Mark III, Halley II, where she seemed like she was still really excelling, but she was still so scary in the dojo, because if you actually count the amount of kind of points that people were saying that Halley shouldn't have access to, she was ending up with these 150-point lists.
Yeah.
But once you actually faced her on the table, she was still strong, but there was still a definite thing.
I think he's not necessarily undefeatable in the dojo. I think that when you talk about all the different SKUs and all the different permutations and where a lot of these lists sort of wind up looking is that these lists sort of don't skew, like what we're seeing at the moment is they're not skewing one particular direction, which means that in the dojo what you need to assume is that Ostrom basically yellows every matchup.
Mm.
And so he's not going to hardcore windmill slam. He like there's going to be like that skew where he does, right?
But he's going to
50-50 most games. And when you've got people that are actually cluey enough to build a list, like somebody who comes out with like 12 hand cannon bunnies, probably not going to like windmill slam most games and probably going to like not play 50-50 games very well. But somebody who's sort of like building that balance list with that understanding in mind where you're not winning every game in the dojo, but you also are sort of because of the different permutations of Ostrom that exist, you wind up with a sort of healthy 50-50, and being aware of what those problems are allows you to solve them on the fly.
No, I don't think it works like that. I think what happens is your 50-50 is your dude's BAM control list. It is like very junky. It's very much, I have the capacity to win a game into almost everything in the game, but I won't necessarily be ahead in every matchup.
Sure, yeah.
Whereas Ostrom has, whatever build you take with Ostrom will have some holes in the meta, where it can actually be a red, and it can comfortably be an orange. But you'll have just, like, so many fucking greens forever.
Yeah.
Because, like, whatever form of under-costed free rules oppression you decide to package into your 75 points with 3 points will just win you free games.
But what is it on his card that's causing that?
Effie.
It's not. It's a combination of speed and armor and effectively reposition three from energy.
That almost sounds like a challenge to build the bad Ostrom list.
I missed what just happened.
Chris is unable to.
How do you make a bad
Chris is being defeated.
Sorry, I mean, no taps.
Who's being defeated by social
skills? It's double taps.
Fuck yeah.
And also, one healthy dose of Brun and Mug.
See, like, even high shields are decent with Ostrom.
Hardcore,
but sure.
You can stop now.
Put the drinks away.
Words are being said. I think we've gone too far. How much cider have you had?
You.
Chris, this can be the photo of the episode.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You win full autism, and Brian, who's turned Asian.
But how many other casters and lists are like Ostrom in that way, that they seem to green and yellow out so many of your matchups? Like, is that a very common thing? And is that something that a lot of factions are leaning on?
Halley 3 currently is like that?
Halley 3 is... Look, it really is comes down Axis to... It's actually a caster who combines the following. It's basically armor a buff of a certain number to basically be oppressive.
When in fact.
Alright, it's basically, it combines a buff of a certain quantity that basically makes them above the curve in a very strong way. In Haley's case, it's temporal flux, and obviously in Ostrom's case, it's his feet, plus the fact that dwarf jacks are natively steady sturdy.
Ron?
High armor.
Not steady.
Yeah, but it's not just necessarily being able to push one just number steady. Really high, yeah. Because, you know, then no, because the striker one is still standing there with his plus eight armor, and he's
It's combining that with basically a couple of meta rules and just general hardcore attrition performance. You'll notice, like, Haley 3 basically never struggles to actually kill the fuck out of you in mass.
You know what it is, mate? It is the fact that a basher has a free rule called I explode models that around me, mm-hmm. and does it with a free slam, with follow-up and grand slam, right? A spray bunny has a spray with powerful attack, and it gets a free focus.
Yeah.
That's just broken already. Before we add sturdy and everything else, right? The fact it's rat serious.
Oh, yeah.
Hand cannon bunny, basically the same deal, slightly less push, but now it gets me power 12 and has higher range, right? A driller, if it hits once, it hits for the rest of the game, right? What else is left? A rock room has random displacement on its gun and gets to be armor 20.
Yes.
And plus stagger.
And crit stagger.
Sure, right, it's also a crit stagger, right?
Exactly.
Right,
it also has assault, by the way, just, yes. You know, yeah. Showing off.
That has always been a metric of mine. When you either accidentally proc a really powerful rule, yeah. Or if you forget that there's a really powerful rule, it's probably a bit too much.
When
there was a long time where you forgot that Haley 2 could steal the spells.
Well, that's like Thorn,
shit,
right?
Yeah, that's a thing she does.
It's like Thorn, still. He just has all these rules. You're just like, what the fuck? He dodges, he just disrupts, he cortex damages. He's just so damn slippery to get a hold of. He just does everything, and he's... Like, he is appropriately costed this edition.
Yeah, I found I fell out of love with Thorn, specifically because the amount of boosts and knockdowns that were around, mm-hmm. and Thorn was, like, really, really dodgy until he really, really wasn't. Yeah. And then that 13 point just evaporated when a field gun hit him.
Sometimes
not naming any names.
Sometimes you do get outskilled by said someone's
every fucking time.
But that's the thing. Right? Like, basically, Haley 3 / Ostrom both have that sort of like, okay, we push a couple of numbers incredibly fucking hard.
Even
and we have also in
the Scar one.
Yeah,
they're prime examples, and that
new, my numbers.
The new Living Pirates theme as well. Like that's just, I think that's an unexplored gem.
Isn't the obvious one Primal Terrors? Primal Terrors is numbers the list.
Yeah, yeah,
because it ends up with lots of.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Primal Terrors is fine because it loses hard to Osirin.
Of course,
It's not an issue.
Now see, but you've got to build.
So, can we actually discuss the elephant in the room that is Primal Terrors? Because apparently, people don't believe Primal Terrors is a problem. And let me be honest, they would be correct because Jake hasn't actually won an event yet with Primal Terrors.
You guys have a weird meta.
Oh, absolutely, we have the weirdest meta. But I will be honest, right? I put a bounty on Primal Terrors players. If you beat a Primal Terrors player while they were playing that list, you got a free drink voucher.
Can I bring Siege One in case?
Problem is that the only person who won that was basically beating, like, effectively the guppy of the team.
Before you get onto that, though, like, from the outside looking in, you guys said we have, like, a weird meta. What is that actually looking like to you coming from Canada?
I'm actually curious,
Australia for the first
time. So, I guess the Canadian meta has a lot of Krix, Grimkin, and Signar.
So, like, sort of like your established problems?
Well, it depends, like, because so every meta has a fixed number of, like, top-level players.
Yep.
And depends on what those players bring to the meta.
Yeah.
Yep. Your meta skews based on that.
Especially since other players copy what
right.
Players.
So everybody's trying to beat the boogeyman.
Kind of. And people are also trying to beat the boogeyman. I'm one of the few Murkcaster in my area.
Well, what's that like?
Pretty good, damn
it. A mono Osra meta.
Pretty damn good. Yeah. But
so what you tell me is you have untapped green fields of Osra
Jack. But the thing is, like, you go around, like, Canada and US is kind of the same. Like,
yeah.
Within, like, 12-hour driving distance, we're kind of willing to drive.
Yeah.
And you go to a different area, and the meta is completely different.
Mm.
So it really depends on which area you're in and which... like, dozen player you're looking out to.
That's true, weird, so what's
so
what's
what makes Australia weird by comparison?
Well, beyond the people. We want to know why we're weird.
Well, yeah. For a long time, I think in our consideration, Legion is among the bottom three factions. Here, among for a long time in Canadian,
but then Primal Terrors
came
out.
True.
So there wasn't any Legion in Australia until Ogres came out, and then it came out.
But there's usually a lag, right? Like, new stuff come out, and people gradually gravitate toward
it.
Not
certainly
like
no
the
lag.
Immediate.
Yeah.
Like,
we saw that CIT, we're like, fuck, it's real.
The immediate adoption like a super
CID
team.
CID changes the timeline, and as soon as we know most of the rules in CID, people start... planning purchases,
right,
and then it comes out as soon as it hits the table.
Well, I think the worst part of Tribal Terror is...
Sure.
Right.
Also, you didn't have Jack Ding.
Like I said before tonight, Jack Ding was out of the was a little bit out of the game of War Machine for a bit, and that is guaranteed, like, definitely the most balanced time of War Machine ever.
Bro, I was placing at local tournaments.
So, it doesn't happen anymore.
From all this I'm hearing is I need to play Jack Ding.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, look honestly, people tell me a lot about...
will be crushed.
Look, let me ask. People tell me a lot about Pat Dumford, and honestly, I've got to assume Pat Dumford is a great player. Unfortunately, I also have to assume that Pat Dumford is basically like a not Asian clone of Jack Ding, and therefore probably not as good because he doesn't have as good a math degree.
Yeah. Alright, so Jack really is a robot designed to ruin.
So Chris, well, the problem with playing Jack is the following: you beat him once, he's like, "That's a great idea, And he points his head. And to reiterate, he basically points his head. He points a finger to his head and just goes, "I've learned that. I've assimilated that knowledge. You will basically, like the Borg, not be able to do that."
What I'm hearing is we have to assemble Team Korea next year.
You mean Team Best Korea?
Team Only Korea.
Oh yeah!
Chip.
I'm pretty sure those talks are in progress right now.
Back on. Meet on the border, take cute photos with like your kids and their kids, and like, you know, shake hands for one like day, and then like get back to being weird with each other.
Well, we're going to exchange some hostages and be basically really, really,
well, this
really
comes
weird.
Out in what a week! So for all we know, like the nukes are already flying in the air. The world is basically over.
And I for one welcome our new overlord.
9/11 jokes the day after it happened.
Yeah, pretty much.
Podcasting for the inevitable nuclear apocalypse.
Yes. And Ostrom will still be fucking there. Working away.
That's the biggest loss. You know, if society...
2,000 years from now, right, society will recover.
Ostrom and primal terrors will rule the meta forever.
Exactly.
Did we have an Ostrom actually go into a primal terrors?
Yep.
And guess who won?
And Ostrom was fine.
I forgot to activate my siege crawler for one turn. Because I killed so much shit with my army.
But from like strong that...
But you're also...
Tech for that matchup.
And you're also beating up our...
Just say you think
well,
you
I'll beat children. I'll beat children.
Does it rhyme with...
Don't beat around the bush.
Sure.
Okay.
Wait, does it rhyme
really
with you?
Good at my game that particular round.
Oh, the harsh truth comes out.
Not as harsh as Jack.
No, nothing's as harsh as Jack. But you like you live in a meta with him for 6 months, and you're like, okay, cool. The truth is out there, and it's going to be told to me whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
Well, look,
you've got to shut down your throat.
Yeah, for sure.
When you get down to it, Jack Ding's level of balance is honestly, like, when you just shift the goalposts enough, you can define any meta as balanced enough. For instance, like, Trolls, well-designed faction,
yeah,
medium tier, very good, therefore completely unplayable.
Yeah, for sure.
They're absolute garbage. Right.
Absolute garbage.
I think I've got a question that can bring these two halves of the podcast together. Is Jack Ding just the human version of Ostrom?
Yes. Jack does make a lot of his matchups green.
That's fair.
So he does speed up his entire meta.
I haven't seen him walk that fast, actually.
No. What all
Ostrom
actually
moves way faster than you feel like he should.
Yeah, exactly.
Ostrom does like the pieces that are around him do though.
No, sometimes Ostrom is just like, oh fuck, I gotta get
casual light edge of ads.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, Jack really is like the Ostrom ride because
a full 7 forward on V turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like it's also a case of like you're playing game and then he'll walk past like 15 minutes in the round, realizing that like he's already won. He goes like, how are you going? And you're like,
Why are you still playing this game? I'm going okay.
And he looks at your table and gives you like that apathetic shrug. I would have fucking won this by this point.
Check in 47 moves. That's all I'm saying.
My best comment to have a game, he goes, "You're a really aggressive player, Josh. I thought I was aggressive, but you're much more aggressive on the table." I'm like, "Is that a compliment?" And he goes, just shrugs and just walks.
I don't know to be offended or not.
Are you also that aggressive in bed?
Always, Jack.
Okay. So, with all this garbo in mind, what do you think about spamming dudes? Because clearly we need to find something player with this fucking excellent, basically gravy sauce that is Ostrom.
We just need double battle engines with two max in Hammer Strike, with two max units of Hammer Dwarves, and just a couple of bunnies.
I feel like that's not the case.
We kind of don't need that in the slightest, but yeah, sure.
Why? Because you could just hot swap fire for effect between your battle engines.
Yeah, but then it's just like...
That's the thing. Like, or then you say that, and you joke, but I keep facing that because I kept on wanting to play Nemo 3, and Affy here is just like, no, you don't get to shoot.
I like to play War Machine. Such as Force Nemo 3 out of the meta.
Alright,
play Hammer Strike to make that happen.
Or, the most cancerous part is when he randomly shoots a Firefly nearby and just slightly gracefully touches the edge of a Stormstrider with a blast template and crits.
Why'd you put it
with
there?
Why you put it there, though? I just crit Sagar it.
Because it got pulled down right next to
I'm the second best player meta. I'm the second best merc player in this entire country. Why are you so bad, Arian? God.
You really struggled to get that.
Yeah, that
out.
Was like...
Oh, absolutely so. That,
said, wait, I'm going to put a little label on that that says sentence in progress.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know how super
well, like when you're downloading your picture.
Chris, read this. Chris has gone back to 56.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
You guys are really struggling with this auditory sort of media that you're Chris, creating.
Chris. No, I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about everybody.
All right, guys, this, shut up.
Describe the beautiful token.
Why you put her there? I just kill her. I am second best Kano player in all of Russia.
Hey, Charles, can you please actually tell us the context?
I'm sitting down from the table and I got nothing.
I actually wasn't there. This is like the year
well,
before.
Well, I was there amazing. And I can tell you that. Basically, the problem is this, like, so, you know, you're playing against P-Scar. You're playing P-Scar and you're playing against Sorsha 2, and Sorsha 2 is like, you know, you put your scar on a hill.
This is Mark 2, right?
This is Mark 2. No,
Sorsha was
back
on
when,
a hill.
Back when Sorsha 2.
All right, right. Sorsha was on a hill.
Wind Rush on the hill.
That's right. Sorsha is Wind Rush on a hill, and you're playing Scar, WWR. You're also playing, like, basically the you're Jesus. Playing as Russia, and you're going like,
Kato, how are you fucking this up?
Because fuck yeah, basically.
Just because you want to talk, let the real Asian, like, tell us, okay?
Jack's not here.
Considering he told... exactly.
It's okay, you're there. You tell the story.
Fair enough.
And then so, there's another story from last year.
We should keep talking.
Oh my god, yes. All right, I'll tell
and
my
and
story.
If we all concentrate really, really hard, one person might tell a story at a time.
Indeed. So basically, Scar is sitting at Def 20. Let's be honest, Def 20, pretty good number.
It's not Scar. Sorsha is sitting at
Def 20. Sorsha is sitting at Def 20. Whatever. Crazy.
Anyway, like statement stands totally nerfed right now. All
right.
So it's Sorsha windrushed on a hill. That's Def 20, right? So what happens is Scar goes in, rolls a hell of fire, needs a 14 to hit, gets a hit, easy. Deals, you know, the casual 14, deals, you know, about 14 boxes to a 17 box Sorsha. Cool. All right. Whoa, that was really dangerous. Okay, well, Scar rolled a lot for Ritual Sacrifice, so of course, goes for the second Hellfire. Lands it. Kills Sorsha. GG. Thank you very much for getting
it. Sorry, but
we're
going to close this area.
Resume?
Trash podcast.
Yeah, trash podcast.
Resume.
All right, what was I going to say? Basically,
Scar was on a hill.
Scar was on a hill, gets hit by Hellfire once, gets hit, gets clocked for about 14 boxes. Cool, all right, sweet. Gets hit a second time at a 14. Excellent. Dies. Also, by the way, I said Scar, I meant Sorsha. Cool. Man, this Russian guy goes and looks a little, like, really inquisitive, like, why you put her there? I just kill her. How long have you been playing this game?
I am second best player in Russia.
I am second best K-Dor player in Russia. Thank you very much.
No, I think he said best.
No. He definitely delineated K-Dor because he had to actually specify which one. Because he couldn't claim that he was the second best player in Russia, right?
I don't know. I can't fake a Russian accent anyways.
All right, Charles, tell us about the story last year.
So last year, you know, Ghost Fleet was a big boogeyman. And then on our team with one of our players was Jeremy. And he was playing Kallus 2 as like kind of like a silver bullet answer to Denny 2. Sorry, not Denny 2, Denny 1. Denny 1 Ghost Fleet. So he ended up playing the same player from Russia who asked him, what's your threat range with Kallus 2? So Jeremy laid out all his abilities and feats and his threat ranges. And the guy is like 2 inches inside the threat range. So he says, okay, so if I move Denny 2 inches back, I'll be out of your threat range. And Jeremy's like, yes. What just happened was that this guy moved 2 inches in a direction that puts Denny into a fire cloud. Sets her on fire. And because Kallus' fee says, if you're on fire, I get plus three inches to charge you, that just puts her back into the fee range.
Wow.
Rex.
And Jeremy didn't even know it was this guy. And we had all these tokens made like, why you put her there? And then they trade jerseys afterward. It was like sweet love story.
Oh, yes.
I've got one of those because Chandler assassinated me playing because I got thrown under the bus in 2015 against Bradigus. Because everyone was just like, nope, we're going to do that once. I'm like, well, I guess take the Bradigus bus.
Yep. And you're playing
fuck Bradigus.
Raven?
I played Haley 3.
Haley 3, okay. In 2015, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, 2015 meta, Haley 3.
So Mark 2? Mark 3.
Mark 2.
I played Haley 3 every WC.
Nice.
I can't say I'm that surprised. It's Haley 3.
It's Haley 3.
Let's try like, No, I really can't.
She's been the best caster in the game that long.
Well, again, like, what does she say with Ostrom? It's like, she skews a number, and also then she adds her own little meta twist.
She's a skill and flexible.
Yeah.
Like, she can switch to, like, assassination mode anytime.
Yeah.
And she can just play grindy, you do nothing for exactly. a long time. Long
right, like, her assassination game is much better than Ostrom's.
Plus, a lot of, like a lot of, Crick's casters, basically, she has this little thing, this little random thing. Like, okay, you need random magical weapons at high accuracy to kill these stupid fucking Echoes. And high damage.
Focus.
Right. And then you're like, but she gets those literally for free with no skin off her teeth.
And she has, what, 25 jack points?
And she just, she just randomly kills you out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like
the baby Haley kills you.
Yeah.
Well, I...
Well, look, the baby Haley by herself is basically a unit of Great Bears.
Yeah.
With Ragman, it literally actually is a unit of Great Bears.
Matt A, Power 12, Weapon Master? Yes.
Yeah. What's that? Great Bears. Congratulations.
And 7 attacks.
Yeah.
What's his name? Who's the guy who won War Machine Weekend last year? American player?
I noticed. Brandon Andrews.
Yeah. Like, I played against him in WC last year. Like, round 5 or something.
Yeah.
And we had, like, a 10-minute long game. Because he just didn't see the assassination vector with Thorn and Haley 3. And I just one-shot him.
Nice.
It was pretty awesome. I was pretty happy with myself.
Yeah.
Brandon's a hilarious guy.
This is good quality here.
Yeah.
I was way too sick. I was just like, I'm out.
Do you know at the, I think it was ATC, like they... Oh, sorry, it was OTC. They came by and then they tried to, create their own American WTC team.
You mean the Florida team?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
they tried to succeed. The Republic of Florida.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was hilarious. Right.
Enough talk about, like, Ostrom and Haley 3, and honestly, good casters. Let's talk about Gorton and Magnusu, i.e. garbage casters. But more importantly, like, why would you play said Garbo? And honestly, what does it actually add to this kind of, like...
I'm in love with Gorton right now.
Nothing wrong with it.
Gorton is garbage, just like Retribution as a faction. Agreed?
Get fucked, man.
32% win rate, guy.
Get fucked. 100% win rate, thank you very much.
You personally, not the faction.
I think
still pretty good.
I think Chris is just fishing for comebacks.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And honestly, let's be honest, I'm fishing for basically trolling opportunities. And sure. Considering that you basically have alienated everyone about Retribution...
Yeah, I'll take half. Yeah, I've successfully told everybody how bad they are at that faction. I think you put them as much on the table as you did into the cup right there.
Hey, indeed.
I'll take it.
That'll
wait, that's still a lot.
One sec.
That is the most Canberran thing I've ever seen in my life.
There you go.
Drinking
for everyone who clearly
he drank cider off a felt table.
A felt poker table.
A felt poker table for old people.
Another 3 drinks in, I'd be sniffing this shit.
Whoa. I love you, Jan.
Never change.
But yeah, tell me about like Gorton
damage
2.
Cannot be reversed.
Gorton 2.
The you trader. Mean, no, sorry, the warlord. That's his name.
I fucking hate you right now.
Yeah. I mean, this is like influenced by Corey.
Aren't they all
everything,
the same?
Everything came from Corey.
So, Magnuses. Yeah.
No. One's good, the other one's not.
The Magnus one is hot garbage.
He's flat out hot garbage.
The thing is, like, basically, this was actually covered earlier when we went, here's Ostrom, right? And Ostrom, you make your personal list and it'll have specific holes depending on how you build that list, right? And then you go, I need to make a list that covers those holes that I've created depending on how I made my Ostrom. And Gorton happens to cover a certain breadth of the game.
It's the other way around. You make your other list.
Yeah.
And then... You make your other list a sweeper list, which is polarized, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good into certain matchups, and but it has a bunch of really bad matchups.
Well, and then you make like today, I'm playing Texas and Ostrom.
Right, and then you make your Ostrom list cover those matchups, because Ostrom is your flex list.
Yeah,
like I said, it's all about that like problem awareness.
Right.
Like being able to understand what problem you're trying to unpack is what's going to unlock the strength in your Ostrom list.
Right.
If you can cover your matchups, he's going to cover all those matchups.
Right.
But I don't think it works that way. Because so many people, you make your pairing, and 90% of the time, there is one caster that you actually want to play, right? You got this other caster that you're bringing, whatever. Like,
yeah,
Charles,
Texas.
Don't lie to me.
I want to play Gorton.
Shut the fuck up, Josh, you lying
bullshit. I want to play Gorton. As someone who played both of my casters,
you drop Ostrom most of the day.
I know, because Gorton is very specific. Like, you have a lot of bad matchups, and you have matchups where he almost auto wins unless you make a really bad mistake like I did.
What did you do?
I left a hole where Colin could get his heavy through and get
it didn't work, so flawless victory.
Wait, did it work?
Sure, it almost worked.
Ah, okay, there you go. Almost worked, it's not working.
True, but and like,
no, but, like the point I'm making is most people like they legitimately go, this is my favorite caster, this is the one I want to play most of the time. I want to drop into as many matches as possible.
Most people are not Colin Hill.
But no, but we're talking about most people, right? We're not talking about Colin.
Well, let's be honest, right? Unfortunately we are in an Australian meta. Welcome to the Australian meta, by the way. You do have to deal with Colin Hill and his random ability to just pull bullshit out of his
that
ass.
That is not true. I could just never come to Sydney and I wouldn't have to deal with Colin Hill. Bullshit.
Except for Winter God and CanCon.
No, because I just dropped first round and it's not an issue. Colin's going to win.
You do realize
unless he plays against Brian.
You do realize that he might, A, play you in round one.
That's a very low odds, right?
Oh, is it low odds? Is it low odds enough you want to bank on? That's what I thought.
Easy thing. How often have I played Colin Hill?
I don't know how often
enough
have
times,
you played
I suspect.
It's zero. Oh, I've never played Colin Hill.
Oh, well.
How do you know it's a bad matchup for you?
Colin's the sweetest dude.
I rated it a green.
Colin's
suck it up.
Okay. I specifically want to play him today.
Yeah, he is
it's
a sweet dude.
A fun game.
Yeah.
Oh, he's absolutely a sweet dude. He's, by the way, shout out Colin. If you actually bother listening to this garbage, why would you? All right.
You just see our grid. Like, I had him down as a yellow, and it's like, I think Gordon is good into both of his lists. But it's Colin.
Well, here's the thing. I will accept defeat on my premise of having a main caster. But in terms of your pairing with Ostrom being Gordon, Charles, all yours. Because Avi is fucked off.
Yeah, because Avi is fucked off. And Avi, I will try and defend Avi's whatever crappy
softness.
So the problem with Avi is that Avi has decided that apparently, like, 40 models is a bit too many, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Charles has brought some, like, kind of American, you know, like, efficiency and basically got, like, 52 models. 52 models is not quite enough.
What happened is...
Second time I got called an American. What the hell?
Dude, you are American. What the fuck? Because Canada is in America. America's a general term that covers two giant continents. We didn't even specify North America. What is wrong with you?
Charles,
come on, you've played Shadowrun. You know that it's the United Canadian American
States.
It is
called the Americas.
The best part about
Americas, that's what I thought.
And Charles isn't from the United States of Americanistan.
Yeah. I mean, like, Liam
he's
already called me...
He's American-istan.
Yeah.
Liam already called me a visiting US player.
And
like, what
good.
The fuck?
The best part about seeing your sound waves actively recorded on this phone is that even when I'm yelling, Chris still just overpowers me. I've got nothing.
True.
Yeah. I really don't know what you're talking... Oh, okay, I do.
Yeah. Now you're actually fucking watching the thing.
Of course I am.
Anyway,
so, like, for a long time, my pairing is Damiano and Osram. And Damiano is my infantry spam. Which is really good into most infantry spam. Because you have Deadeye, you have Duggan Trenchers, you win almost all skirmishing matches. But
I've been playing a really similar list to yours, and I agree. It's fucking amazing.
Because Tom could not look less convinced if he tried.
Right, but the thing is, like, I never thought of it in terms of like the sweeper and pivot kind of mentality, where Damiano is the one where he has polarizing matchups, where if he got the right matchup, he crushes it. But he also has matchups where if your opponent has the right anti-infantry tools, he will lose the attrition game. Like, Nemo 3 used to be one of those. You don't drop Damiano into Nemo 3 because your infantry will evaporate, right? But where Ostrom is your flex list, where you can build him to cover the matchup where your other, like, bully list doesn't cover. And even dropping that into a bad matchup, you have an out. It's always a playable game.
So here's the part where I reveal where the flaw lies with this sweeper slash flexus strategy. The problem is, I like Pokemon, or Pokemans, as I should refer to it by its correct name. War Machine lists are significantly more complicated than just... look, do you really want to just have this actually facing me? I mean, come on.
I don't know, he doesn't need it.
Exactly. But seriously though, like, when you do this with Pokemon... actual fighting tournaments, end of the day, you have four moves, you have an equipment thing you put on your caster, and you have...
about Pokemon. No one understands.
Netrunner.
Yeah. Alright, fuck it, I'll talk about Netrunner.
But you're hitting the table! But, no, genuinely, that makes no sense, because no one knows what the fuck you're on about.
Alright, the thing is this, right? The ideal doesn't make sense in the context of War Machine for the simple fact that War Machine lists can be complicated enough to be a sweeper and a pivot list at the same time. For instance, Ostrom. Ostrom is a massive fucking sweeper list, because there's some matchups like super fucking Cloud Wars and like Line of Sight Denial.
And I'm just going to say that you guys have been just dancing with the stars. It's fucking fantastic. But seriously, like...
Now kill the groove!
Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo! But seriously, there's some Ostrom list where you're just like, okay, there's a shit ton of clouds. I can't fucking win. It's like Halo 3 when you've got basically... You're not tech for her...
Go on. You can do it.
I don't know if I can
Chris
go on
like
in it.
30% of the way to a point right now.
Have we got, like, Chris actually flustered and, like, off track for once?
Ah, bullshit.
I didn't think you were making a point.
Not the first time, right?
It's pretty hard.
I don't know, it is really hard. I can literally keep talking. I can just talk
Chris
on my
Chris can talk underwater, and it's like a lot of people just tune in to hear what the rest of the conversation was, because they can already hear Chris in the past, because he's so damn loud.
Pretty much.
And you share that sub-channel of everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
I could probably talk in Murloc and be fine, but really Argus, like, up.
What?
Ostrom basically can fill the role of pivot and sweep, because in this particular context, you have the giant numbers to skew in one particular way, plus the also scenario game you can play with regards to, like, bulldoze. So, you can basically say, like, okay, you have to have you can't play a gun line into me because my armor is too high, and you also can't really play, like, a list without any damage buffs because you just can't.
Right.
The damage doesn't scale high enough, but then you can also add the fact that also I'm playing Ostrom, so I'm a really fucking flexible caster. I have huge DPS. I also have a bunch of seriously, as Charles put it, undercosted models. How undercosted would you put, like, a gun buddy, say?
I would say they're about 6.5. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Because, like...
If they went down a rat, I think they'd be pretty appropriately costed.
I would agree.
Would you pay 7 points for a bunny?
No. Yeah. A few, probably not as many, but I still would take a few.
But then you have to realize that, like, dwarf heavies are pretty okay still.
They are.
What's a driller? A driller
and
is
then
basically...
And like, charges as well. Like, you're pushing... This is the problem with Signal Lights and stuff, is you're pushing the lights into heavy territory for points cost.
Yeah.
Like, your charges being 9, they're so close to, like, a lot of the drillers and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
So, like, I can take a charger,
or you can take a Crusader or a Slayer.
Exactly.
The worst ones you have to...
Heavies are trash. We have, like, good quality heavies, but they just don't win that dishonest fight you're playing a lot of the time.
Mm. Yeah. All I heard was, we need to do something about nerfing Signa. Good
and that's why...
Well, yeah, no, yeah. Nerf Signa sure. more. I'd love to shit out of that.
But yeah, it's the issue with basically Ostrom is that he basically has... He doesn't have, like, 10-point hunters, and he doesn't have, like, 9-point charges. He has 6-point half charges,
but I think
which also have sturdy for fucking knows what reason, with extra armor.
But see, the gun bunny you can compare... The gunner you can compare to a charger, but the blaster has no equivalent in the game.
Definitely not. And
No, but
I think that, any model that you put, like, that you see, you're seeing in those sort of, like, Gordon pacifism lists at the moment, I'm really pushing the idea that, like, he doesn't care what the fuck you're putting in front of him. It's just going to be a consistent game for him.
You mean
like,
Ostrom,
not,
right?
Not Gordon. Gordon. I think it's just designed to be a consistent, fairly slow game all the way through. That's going to punish you for making any particular move in one direction or another, because eventually it's going to be able to net value based on volume of attacks, volume of bodies, and volume of scenario presence, and on top of that, one of the best feats in the game. It's putting all those combinations of things together where it takes a long time, but the effort isn't super high because you're really being rewarded for just sort of minimal damage on a consistent turn, or not minimal, but like sort of like normative damage every turn the entire period of the game.
I would say in the beginning of Mark 3 that would be more true, but right now there's a lot more meta tools to fight against recursion and tough. So you have like things like snacking, things like
takedown.
Thing benefits that says you have no tough and you're RFP'd.
Sure.
So there's a lot more ways that infantry span could be countered. So there's more tools, it just depends on whether or not you meet them. That's why the current infantry spam list is more polarizing. It's like you either have really good matchup where they don't have the tools to deal with all your infantry, or they have it and you're like, okay, I can't drop this.
Well, it gets better because you'd be like, okay, I have the like takedown option. Okay, cool. You counter both the tough that the Gordon list really leans into between the press gangers and the rando steward. So for reference, the Gordon list is basically, to quote Charles Sugar's list, what was it? 2 max units halberds, 2 max units.
32 halberds, 20 press gangers, Alexia, and 4 solos.
So you have basically 52 tough bodies.
Not all.
Well, actually, 20 of them are tough all the time.
Right.
The thing is,
and 10 of them will
need to be tough. Will be tough.
Exactly.
They're back in the room. They're awake. All right. We're going to head back because. Charles and I both don't have keys, to a backpack is worth staying at.
Yeah.
And everyone's back in the place and I'll be going to sleep soon.
Do not be shocked if I am asleep on the street.
I can't say I'm be that surprised.
I can't feel the cold right now.
I'm too pretty to sleep on the streets.
Well, yeah, I could go a bit of fast about that, but let's be honest. People have heard me much enough. You
can cash on if you really want to.
Yeah.
They're required.
Go ask Charles. What do you got?
Jesus fuck.
No, what was the question?
I
missed the question.
No, the question is regarding Gordon and stuff. It's like, why would you pair this thing with Ostrom, who literally solves everything, apparently?
Gordon is hilarious.
Should have asked.
Excellent answer. Good man.
This is just a list you put on a table, and everybody walks by, and they're like, that's a lot of dudes. Yeah, we heard that. Next body walks by. That's a lot of dudes. Yes, we heard that again. That happened 10 times in a row.
Just quickly as well, before we have to nick off, just want to plug the Super Series.
I'm going to stop this now. Thank you very much.
We've got our Australian Invitational. We'll have a last chance qualifier. It'll be in November. Dates will be racked up next week. I'll be spamming it all over the War Machine Hordes Australia pages and stuff like that. So if anyone's keen, they can contact me, Josh Bates, on Facebook, and I can give you details, or you can find the details. I'll be spamming the shit out of everywhere.
If you're looking for the page, it's Oz Super Series, OZ Super Series, and there's tons of information about all the upcoming events and qualifiers for that particular event.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, Tom Gunn will probably be there as well, because Tom.
Congrats to the 7 might get
approved. You can also find the link on Josh Bates' Tinder profile.
Yeah. Yo, absolutely.
You can find Josh Bates' Tinder anywhere within about 20 kilometers of me.
He swipes with his penis.
Josh is not a discerning gentleman, let's be honest.
As long as you're 6 foot tall, I'm happy.
As long as you lie about being 6 foot tall, you'll be happy.
Alright, we're out. Catch you guys later.
Alright, see you, dude.
Yes. Alright. See you guys tomorrow morning.
What is this?
That got.
Good night, beautiful people.
Josh doesn't mean that. It's fine. Alright, now all that's.
The Bavarian.
It's right now. Alright, carry on.
So I think there's like a few important points to take away from like this particular discussion, and it's one of the things that's like amidst all the drunk and like over-talked rambling that we've sort of had, is that what we're seeing at the moment, particularly in this meta, is a prevalence of a list that is like exceptionally strong at flex building. And I think it's really important to understand that, like, when you look at a meta where there's not sort of like, and Australia's like a weird meta because there's no established sort of
top. I'm going to actually cut you off at that, because to be honest, from what I've seen, every meta is a weird meta. This is always going to be one to two factions that are missing that should be there. And in Australia's case, there's a couple of ones. Like, for instance, as Charles actually got into, Legion is in most of the metas he's been to, a bottom tier faction. In our case, it's a case of, well, all of the Legion players were basically just waiting for Ogryn to come out, and then they just jumped back right onto the Legion bandwagon.
Sure.
And in this case, obviously, we have quite a strong ret meta. We have, for some reason, a lot of Kador players. I don't particularly know why. And we have just a lot of Merc players just coming out of our ears.
But I think what we're seeing is, like, actually a rise in Australia of, like, fairly proactive list building. And it's lists that are designed to solve sort of what's in front of them, not necessarily to solve a particular problem. And I think that's definitely an interesting sort of list paradigm. Like, you look at, like, a lot of the Rask lists, a lot of the ret lists, a lot of the Kator lists, a lot of the Merc lists at the moment, where there's sort of like these weird jank, and it's like you could sort of chalk it up to jank, but it is sort of being designed as this sort of
sweeper type of list.
Yeah, this
I actually, to be honest, like, I can't really remember the term.
The point list. The sweeper is sort of your skew, but like this point list of being able to look at a problem and find a solution in all of the bullshit. And
well, it isn't just that. It's being able to have, like, a very solid list that can basically answer a lot of problems, but also in itself presents a huge skew, which is what Ostrom does, which is what a lot of lists actually try to do.
Yep. And it's why
a lot of the best casters, what they'll do is they'll skew stats in a huge way, or skew, like, some particular trick in a huge way. For instance, Isirio, to quote your Retribution sort of thing.
Yep.
Assyria is just a really fucking good list, but it also has this ridiculous skew in the form of Blinding Light. Like, end of the day, you just say, like, okay,
you brought a few key pieces of shooting, you don't get to shoot with those key pieces.
Yeah, so if you're basically playing Colossals or Battle Engines or certain kinds of units, which are certain kind of builds where basically you're relying on huge whole units to shoot.
Yeah.
Against Assyria, that doesn't work. Against, for instance, like Ostrom. Ostrom just has an armor skew plus a push skew that he just shoves in your face. So even if he can't win, you just win by just sheer numbers. He can just win by going like, and you're out of the zone.
Sure.
And more importantly, like, he can just layer those as he sees fit. There's some builds in minions that also push this way. Rask has a denial skew that's probably unparalleled in the game. End of the day, his feat is
it's a combination of denial and excessive threat.
Yeah, because his feat is fucking stupid, but also the amount of damage he can push is actually quite fucking stupid.
Yeah. But it's very much, and Legion, like with Primal Terrors, which is, I don't know, I'm sure will take off overseas.
But
I'm sort of in a hiatus of like listening to podcasts and things like that, like I'm not hearing a lot about it. But it's definitely one of those things where it's like, it is going to present particular problems, and particular problems for a meta that might not be ready to handle them.
Yeah.
It's very much a case of like looking at these sort of meta establishments and not necessarily trying to data mine an event like OTC, which I think is kind of like a cool representation of a bunch of people trying some weird shit.
Yeah, but pretty much.
It's very much a case of like, you're looking at the lists that are floating to the top, whether it be like Tasmanian Mudbloods, where you've got a lot of kind of those cool proactive list builds, or, you know, to plug my own like selfish ass, like I'm doing super well with Ran and Assyria at the moment. It's like very much lists where I don't care what's necessarily in front of me, or they don't necessarily care what's in front of them. They're ready to sort of just like play that game and try to play that scenario where most lists they get dropped into is a yellow or a 50-50.
Yeah. Well, in this particular case, to, like, pull it a little bit away from our, like, fucking selfish ass, like, retribution players ruining everything for everyone.
Yeah, fuck those guys. Oh, my God. So self-serving.
I know, right? Holy shit. But it's a case of a lot of these, like, kind of matchups, you basically like, okay, well, I have a chip and a chance, but also I have a huge ass skew. So there's a couple of lists. I was watching some of your games, and what would happen is you'd be like, okay, well, look, this is a 50-50, except I also have Ran. So in addition to the regular game of War Machine, we play of attrition, scenario, and basically killing models.
Sure.
Also, I have this, like, fuck you threat.
Yep.
And this especially is true in, like, sort of team events where you basically, like, even if you're playing to someone who's literally better than you, like if you're playing to Colin Hill, or you're playing to, worse yet, Jack Ding.
Yep.
Or even worse yet, Jack Ding.
Yep. Or Whaley.
Or Jack Ding.
Yep.
Right. You can just go like, okay, fuck it. I've got this thread. I'm going to go for the throat.
Yep.
He's given me a 20%. You know what? 20% was about the best I was going to get anyway. And to quote to my horn, right? Last year, we won the OTC. And Jack came up to me afterwards and said, like, you know, it was basically just down to our game because of the way we picked the max. I'm just like, yeah, I know. And it's like, you did know you got lucky with it. And like, yeah, I know, but you also don't know what Bulldoze does when regards to a Clamjack. And like, he was just like, I'll remember that.
Yep.
Like an AI, like a cold calculating Cylon. But you know what? For that particular tournament, he didn't know that. I won that tournament and yep. We felt good. Cheers, man. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But that's a catch, right? When you have a list, and in that particular case, I won with Butcher 3, who was my particular general skew, because it's a case of, okay, I have Butcher 3, it's a regular list, but also it has Butcher 3 to back it up. Sometimes you just kind of want to build for these particular team tournaments, or even just in general, you want to build a list that can effectively push numbers in a really particular direction, but then also have this side game going on to really just, you know, if the primary game fails, in this case, the primary game being win legitimately, you want to go the secondary game, which is, of course, win illegitimately, i.e. win the yarn strategy.
I don't win.
Win the yarn strategy, when yarn actually tries his hardest.
In my defense, all I've really stuck on at the moment is that this has come a long way just to determine that, like, Jack Ding is fundamentally, like, Skynet. in human form.
Absolutely.
He's Pat Dumfries in Australian form, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Near Unfortunately, enough. That's really actually the problem.
Doesn't matter. At some point, I'm going to wake up. Jack Ding's face will be on my computer screen, and I'm going to die within 24 hours.
Well, the problem is, it's actually going to be your fault because your list wasn't optimized enough to beat Jack Ding. It's just like, I'm actually quite disappointed in you. He wouldn't say, like, I'm disappointed. I'm actually quite disappointed in you.
Oh, yeah. You're
quantifiable
one of the Asian dads. You're meant to be disappointed in me. That's how it works.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, this kind of list, you basically are looking at it like it is a strong part of War Machine in general. It is something you should probably bear in mind. But it's also something that if you can find a certain type of that kind of list in your meta, or frankly in your faction, then that'd be something to look into copying. For instance, absolutely. For yourself, Tomo, and yes, it's Tomo, by the way.
Hey guys, it's me.
What a good time for introductions.
At 1 hour and 24.
Well, specifically, I saved it to 1 hour and 24 so people wouldn't tune out because you'd, like, you know, ruin the red faction for them.
Definitely ruin the red faction for everybody.
We didn't exactly name, like, the rotating cast of 12 people that have been involved in this podcast.
That's fair. Oh, absolutely so. And yep. Let's be honest, right, I don't know how this is going to come out, but it's probably going to come out.
It doesn't matter. You're going to release it anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
bingo,
yeah.
Bango. But it's... What were you going to say?
Oh, I was basically going to say, like, this kind of list is basically why, like, it's something to actually try and build with regardless of whatever faction. Like, you're playing Red, you're playing Legion, you're playing Circle, you're playing Cadal. You want this kind of list in your list.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they actually kind of break what basically Charles was saying. Like, you swivet your, like, sweep and pivot kind of style. I literally actually don't know what these kind of mean anymore. Because the problem is, if you can make a list that is both at once, and most of the strongest lists in the game, Haley 3... And honestly, Osram, which we talked at length.
For sure. And Ogres.
And Ogres, definitely. Because Ogres have
pivot,
huge...
Our pivot sweeps, right? Like, you either can't deal with them, or they can deal with you.
Yeah. And they can also... Even if you can deal with them, they can also just like, yeah, but we can bullshit it out.
For sure.
And the way they sort of do this, in general, is basically by screwing ridiculous numbers. In Ogres' case, it's honestly just basically bits of DPS. Their damage is huge. Their resilience is honestly good enough to really good, depending on the caster. But a lot of times, they basically go like, okay, they serve as a vehicle for...
Dude, I'm effectively. So glad I just, like...
Oh, hey, Chris.
Fucking matter where you are.
Welcome we have to a big moment of mocking loud Chris for being loud at
But it's, I think one of the things is, like fundamentally, at the end of the day, and these lists are floating to the top because they epitomize these concepts. They're able to, like, sort of romp those matchups where they're good.
Yeah.
And they're also able to play those matchups where you don't really care.
Well,
and,
that's
and, and it's a devised strategy of generalized apathy.
Yeah,
that is
absolutely.
That is going to win out at the end of the day. If you're just, like, walking into matchups where you're like, sweet, I just, like, do 50-50 in this matchup, and I just got to play not terribly, I'm going to be okay.
Well,
and sometimes that won't come out, and sometimes I won't win the tournament, and whatever. But as long as I'm not, like, just playing these, like, turbo skews where they're super binary and both my lists are super binary, then I'll be okay.
Yep. In the case of this case, it's effectively Primal Terrors, Haley 3, and Osram all have enough flexibility to just bullshit and out.
For sure.
Haley 3 as well. Like, Haley 3 can also just bullshit and out. All right,
Fully scrunching his face. I recommend people go and listen to the meta, like, so the meta, the tactical tips episode with Tom Guan, just like, sort of jizzing his pants real hard at, like, Haley 3, because, like, I don't know.
Now Frawley is rolling his eyes. Okay, guys, if you really have bared with us for 1 hour and 27 minutes, and I don't know why...
We're pretty cut.
We're really cut.
And not in the emotional sense, like, we're drunk as fuck.
Oh, absolutely.
It's actually like, I can see the tears forming in their eyes. Like, these souls are dead.
Look, there's two casters you mentioned, and a third one, and, like, I don't want to say that she's, like, flexible, because she fucking is.
Say it.
Not on the same level.
No.
Haley 3? Yeah, you're right. Haley 3 is, like, kind of mid-tier, unfortunately. And, as another aside, if you really want to just move the goalposts a lot of the time, if... A lot of times, people get really caught up in, like, I have to play the top tier. I have to play the top tier. I have to play... It's
top tier is a bullshit concept, right? Because top tier is always solvable.
And in addition, top tiers are super meta-dependent.
Absolutely.
And, like, take our Garbo meta of basically, like, apparently I need to run, and apparently I need an answer to Haley 3.
Well, not really, because we got one person in the whole country that plays Haley 3.
Or two or so.
Who?
Or three.
Yeah, righto, cool. Sweet bananas, but you're probably better served like actually building a like proper counter.
For let's be honest, the whole star of this podcast, Ostrom.
We have 4 Signar players. One of them's currently playing trolls, and the other one's currently playing Ostrom. Yes.
Yeah, right. So you're probably better off like actually like contemplating how to beat things like your Petting Zoo Rast list or your Primal Terrors or your just Scorn
or
level
Mercs, apparently,
or just your Scorn level of bullshit, which has popped up in every fucking team.
Yes,
you know it's definitely those sort of like those yellow matchups seem to like those. Everything is apathetic to them. Matchups seem to be the things that are actually dominating the meta at the moment. And it's because they don't give a fuck about what you're bringing. It doesn't need to be top tier. It just needs to be able to play against a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And a lot of shit is what's going to get you the finish line most of the time.
And then you compare it with, of course, a list that basically just goes, right, okay, well, I have some garbo matchups, but on the other hand, I'm just going to have this ridiculous skew that makes no sense in a normal context. But
yeah,
in the context of, you know what? In order to beat a list with, say, a bunch of guns or a bunch of melee weapon masters, I'm going to have a list with literally too many models for you to kill.
Yep, absolutely.
And in this case, well, it's basically like, say, Gordon. And I was going to bring Gordon / Magnus up abortively, but let's be honest,
it's sort of the same beast, but not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Magnus is a caster, yeah, and Gordon is a real caster. And more importantly, Gordon has this list actually down pat to a science, and Magnus just basically has this list plus a feat.
Yeah, Magnus doesn't really care what he brings, right? Like, he brings some cool shit, and then, like, a lot of jacks, and it's cool.
No, and he cares exactly what he brings. He brings a really specific package.
Yeah. Like a big battle group?
Look, it's very similar to yours, right? I enjoy your package, but it doesn't work for me.
Mm.
We're, like, gingerly smiling at each other right now. Like, it's a bit of, We'll probably bang later.
It's alright, guys. All the hands are on the table, and I know their dicks are, like, not that dexterous, so they can't be massaging each other right now. I've seen it before. It's not doing that much for me.
I'm glad you decided to ruin my podcast. No, it was ruined long ago.
Your podcast was ruined when I started.
I don't even know why I'm even recording, but regardless.
Well, you can stop at any time.
I think sort of closing thoughts to this discussion is that, like, Ostrom is definitely a conceptual paradigm that like needs to be considered because it is like that epitome of yellow, like that Ostrom Gordon pairing.
Yellow,
like,
I don't give a
is
fuck.
It's just like it is developing that concept of apathy in the game, and yes, the dominant lists aren't going to green every matchup. They're not going to silver bullet every matchup. They're going to apathy the fuck out of every game they play.
Well, actually, no, not quite. They're going to apathy the fuck out of every big meta answer.
Sure,
like every big meta matchup, their idea is basically. All right, all the big problems, I'm going to have at least, you know, a decent game in, and hopefully I'm a good player or whatnot.
Yeah, and I'll try and
play. And then every other match, I was like, oh boy, why did you show up with this garbage?
Why did you put that there?
Why did you put that? I just kill it.
Yeah.
How long you been playing this game? Or more importantly, in our respect, how long you been trying to podcast?
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Good night.